So we get to play a game of where in the world is Playing Guy. My wife is not very happy. She was very upset the first day. Like, very, very upset the first day. You know, when they're mad and you're getting, like, just that one answer response. And I was like, what do you want me to do? I was expecting to have a two-hour delay at the board. I was not expecting this. So the scary part is through this trip, I still haven't even made it to the Canadian customs yet to see if there's any issues with any of this. I haven't made it that far. I haven't been able to leave the greatest country in the world that they claim to even confirm if everything is good at the other end. Tomorrow is going to be great also because it's Good Friday. So I can only imagine that not everything is open, meaning if I run into any sort of issues, is there going to be anyone to help me?
It'll be funny. You'll get through the border on the American side tomorrow. You'll get to Canada. They'll reject you, say, go back to America because we can't let you in. And then America will be like, well, you just exported this car. Where's your paperwork to import it again? And then you'll be stuck in purgatory forever.
Hey everyone, I'm Brad from Calgary.
This is Sean from Cambridge, Ontario.
I'm Terry from Cornwall, Ontario.
Hey, this is Larry from Pitt Metals, British Columbia. And you're listening to the Towing Life Podcast.
Welcome to the Towing Life Podcast, where the ditches are deep, the trucks are loaded, but the drivers are not. I am your host, Towman G, and as usual, I'm joined by my co-host, friend, and former co-worker, the man with very strong opinions, Mr. Plain Guy.
The man with soon to have an American citizenship at this point, Mr. Plain Guy. How are you, G? How are you?
Well, at least I'm comfy cozy in my own house, surrounded by my own four walls. I can't say the same about you.
No, you cannot.
Has your neighbors been good and not banging their headboard against your wall?
You know what? I've been very lucky. So for those of you that don't know, we will get into the story of it. I have been in the U.S. now since... I've been in the U.S. for like 4 days with one more day to go. We're going to get into the story on it. But no, I have been very lucky to have very good neighbors. And found a decent place to rest my head at night. Mm-hmm. So before we do get into it, I have an earbud. This one earbud does not want to stay in my ear. Oh, there we go. Now I have passed through, whatever that means. Before we get too far into it, it is a good time to mention we always appreciate your questions, comments, concerns for the show. How to get a hold of us. You can, easiest way, visit our website, www.towinglife.ca. You can email us at thetowinglife@gmail.com, or you can head over to the Facebook page at The Towing Life Podcast. If you're watching over on the YouTube side, don't forget to click that like, subscribe, comment down below. Some of the comments, I don't know if you've got any lined up from last episode. If there was anything, gee, I know a couple episodes, we had some great ones when it came to the misfortune of my accidents and everything else. My tickets, not my accidents. So some of the comments that we get on the YouTube side are always appreciated. You guys, we like answering your questions, having fun with it and everything else like that. So, don't be shy. Don't be afraid. We don't bite.
We did get quite a few comments in the last couple of days, actually.
Okay. On the YouTube side.
We got one from Francis. Oh yeah. We got one from Francis saying, so how many idiots are going to go put red and blue lights on their all-state rescue clapped out 92 Honda Civic?
The good old 92 Honda Civics. That is awesome.
Yeah. We also got two comments from Joe doing the rebuttal of the California thing.
Yeah.
He says, no, I do not work for Running Bear Towing. I believe that's what they were called.
Blocking out the AAA logos. Yeah,
the AAA logos. Nor do I work for that fat guy and his company. That show was in and around the Truckee, California area, so I used to watch it right after Highway Through Hell on the Weather Channel every Sunday night. I work 4 hours west of them. Always enjoy the show, still waiting on my claim to fame. Yes, the old days were better when you showed up to a call. If they weren't there, you drove on, no calling members, no waiting around for them to show up. the older guys, older than me. Okay. Always talked about how they got sex in return for over mileage. So yeah, I'd say those were the good old days.
That's fair. And then he goes on to say, I'm a third generation in the industry. Did not want to be an owner with the laws in California. Now I work for another company who is second generation in the industry, but being from a family that's been in the industry since 1937, I am a company man. And yes, I have personal gain as well. Who doesn't? I think I like commission, but am not. No, those are some. Okay. So there's a lot to unpack in Joe's comments. Yeah. Running Bear, I think he is right on the name of it. Now that I think about it, I do remember that name coming across as they were yellow trucks, and I do remember the name Truckee California. So yeah, glad to see. I know they got all of our shows, Heavy Rescue, Highway Through Hell. They were all on the weather network down there. That was their
seems fitting.
Yeah, exactly.
It's sunny in 75, and watch the show about ice and freezing rain. And
yeah, no, 100%. 100%. So it was nice to, you know, at least they had a central place to go get it. As for the old guys claiming that they'd pay the overages in sex, I truly believe that was a thing. I think there is possibly third generation towers out there that don't even know they're third generation towers based on those circumstances. But yeah, so no, keep up the YouTube comments. They're awesome. I love being able to interact with people, and YouTube is probably one of the easiest ways to do it. So, we will get into the story on where in the world is Plane Guy. As I hinted at, I have been in the Detroit area. Now, I was not stupid enough to stay in Detroit. May be a naive Canadian, but I'm not that naive. I am currently in a little town. I got no problem calling it out. I'll be gone by the time this thing airs. I'm in a little town south of Detroit called Woodhaven, Michigan. It's about 20 miles south of Detroit. So I came over here. Here's the full story. I left on Monday after weeks and weeks of preparing for this trip because of paperwork with a broker who I do not like and trust. For a customer to head down to Dayton, Ohio, to pick up a weird looking car, this weird car that they're exporting. So we made sure, we double checked, we got all of our ducks in a row, and we took off for Dayton. We arrived in Dayton. I arrived in Toledo, Ohio on Monday night, spent the night because I was out of hours on my log. Tuesday morning, we were making the trip down to Dayton, loading up the vehicle with a plan to make it back somewhere near Toronto, spending the night, and then delivering on Wednesday.
Yep.
Well, did that plan go topsy-turvy real quick? So I showed up at the Detroit Windsor Crossing, the Ambassador Bridge, on Tuesday. It would have been Tuesday afternoon. Looking to export the vehicle. So anytime you're exporting a vehicle from one country to another, you need to stop on the way out at the export office for the country of origin the vehicle is coming from. So I stop in with them. Now, part of the paperwork process was that they have to submit a 72-hour to receive an ITN number. So you have to give the border all the paperwork for this car 72 hours before the car arrives at the border. No problem. We had done that. We had verified that. I was eligible to cross as of Monday, so I purposely left Monday, giving myself extra time to make sure, you know, depending on what time they submitted. Well, when I pull up and I walk into the office and I hand her my paperwork, she goes, "We have a problem." So keep in mind, for our American listeners, I am about 500 miles from home, so it's not like I just live across the border.
Yep.
About 500 miles. So I've been learning my miles while I've been down here. So she said there's a wrong error on the VIN number. They mistakenly put an S instead of a 5 when they submitted the paperwork. One digit. So I call my customer up and I say, "Customer, here's the problem. Your broker," I made sure to iterate that, "your broker messed up the paperwork. She says, no problem, let me call them. So she calls them, they call us back, and they say, no worries, we're going to send an amendment. You'll be out of there in an hour or two.
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of mistakes I was expecting, kind of delays I was expecting. I go back up to the counter. I said, they've apparently submitted an amendment, and I should be able to, like she says, about a day, like an hour or two. Mm-hmm. And the girl tells me, sir, you're not, like, this isn't going to work. If it was any other information on your paperwork, we could make the amendment no issues. If it was a wrong USSP number, if it was a wrong seller name, if it was a wrong GST number, whatever the case was, mm-hmm. they could make the amendment. They cannot do it with the VIN.
Mm.
I said, so what are my options? Well, your options are they're going to have to resubmit the 72-hour hold.
Hmm.
So now we're in a dilemma. What do you do?
Yeah.
I'm 500 miles from home. So I'm, 10 hours from home.
Mm-hmm.
Do we try and contact a towing company in the area to store the vehicle and then drive all the way back and then come back on the Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Right. So we put together a price. We gave our customer a couple options. Here are your options. Here's the price for us to drive home and come back and get it on Friday, plus whatever we're going to incur storing it.
Mm-hmm.
Or here's our price to abandon me, as I like to call it, to abandon me in Detroit, waiting for the 72-hour wait period to be up.
Mm-hmm.
And the customer went, well, if you guys are okay with it, we'll abandon your driver there.
Hmm.
So coming from a company standpoint, the prices were very similar.
Yep.
One of them involves burning the fuel all the way home and back.
Mm-hmm.
The other one involves no fuel being burnt and just paying labor, which you're paying on the fuel going back and forth as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I have been abandoned in the great state of Michigan. Patiently waiting for my 72-hour hold period to be up. It has not gone without adventures. I've managed to have some fun while I've been over here. Keeping in mind that I've got this car loaded on my 20TB flatbed, so I'm not exactly a big fan of driving around anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And U.S. laws with logbooks and everything else, because it's a CDL. So I was lucky enough to find this Best Western Hotel. And I do recommend this for any trucker that has ever come through or a tow guy that has ever stuck in a spot. This Best Western in Woodhaven has places for parking. Like, it is meant for truckers. When I pulled up to the desk, I said, I am a AAA member, because I am, as well as a provider. I am a member.
Mm-hmm.
I am a diamond, a platinum, I don't know what, rewards member through Best Western, because it's where I always stay. Mm-hmm. And the girl looks at me and goes, do you have a CDL? And I said, I do. I have one of those too. She goes, that's mm-hmm. actually the cheapest rate.
Hmm.
And I said, oh. She's like, the CDL rate is cheaper than our staff, our employee discount.
Wow.
Yeah. So I said, I do have a CDL. So they set me up in a nice room. It's been a safe spot for my truck. It's been parked untampered. No one's been hanging around. No sketchy people. No anything like that. They got a really good restaurant right in the hotel.
Nice.
Which is nice. No breakfast included. But I mean, it is, you guys in America, the dollar is shit. Our Canadian exchange against your dollar. But you're like, mm-hmm. I get a coupon every day for breakfast for $2 off. I go get a sausage and egg and home fries and toast with coffee with this coupon for $6.
Hmm.
I can't touch that. Where do you get a six? Mm-hmm. Even you take the conversion, where do you touch that?
Yeah.
So anyways, it's been an adventure. So I've been in this hotel room. I feel like the people, whenever COVID happened and they got stuck in the hotels, when they'd cross, they had to spend 3 days in the hotels.
Mm-hmm.
Except I have the freedom to go wherever I want. With no good.
See, I said, why don't they set you up with like a rental car so you could drive around and do things?
But they didn't. I thought about that. I thought about that. I spoke to my owner and I said, hey, what are we going to do, kind of thing? Like, I'm not. I mean, luckily enough, I was able to bring my laptop down here. So I've been able to work from the road. I've been able to do office work during the day, right? Obviously, it's not the same as being in person.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been able to do some work. We're able to record this podcast. I mean, if I wouldn't have brought my laptop, it would have been a lot more boring. I went, working off my phone all day would not be ideal. I've managed to earn my keep in my jail cell. They pay me more than they pay the inmates down here. It's been an interesting time. I've gotten to go to fast food joints that I never tried before. White Castle. I got to try White Castle the other day. Americans are probably like, that's like some shit food. I don't know why you're eating that, but I remember the movie Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle talking about these little slider burgers. So that when I seen the opportunity to get one, I made sure to check it out.
So now, question for you. If one of your other employees was doing this run and was in the same predicament, would you expect them to do what you're doing right now?
I would offer it to them. I would offer it to them if it's something that they wouldn't want to do.
You wouldn't have gave the other option to the client?
I would have still given the other option to the client. Well, I don't know. I would have, first things first, because it was very easy to make a decision fairly quickly because it was me involved.
And you don't care about your wife the same as
other people? No, it's not that I don't care about my wife. It's that I wouldn't expect an employee to have the same financial interest in the company, right, the way that I did in this scenario. Like, in this scenario, this is a more profitable, route for the company. Even with paying my meals and paying my time and even myself. Yeah, agreed. But I wouldn't expect an employee to take on that kind of, if they didn't feel comfortable with it. If they said, no, this isn't my fucking problem, I want to come home, right? We would look at options, whether that be, one of us drive up and come over here and possibly take over the run. And send them back with in a car, whatever it is. Like, we would, because it's not the driver's issue. I've got drivers that would be like, yeah, sure, no problem. This isn't my ideal way to spend it, right? No. If dollars to donuts, if it was the same, I wouldn't have spent my time here. Right? Being, a company man, and I'm not put out. It's not like I'm, like stuck sleeping in my truck or anything like that. Like, I'm put up in a decent hotel. I've got all the amenities I need. I've gotten my meals taken care of. I'm getting paid while I'm here. I'm not put out by this. So I'm not put out financially. It makes more sense to the company.
Yep.
I got no problem doing it. But yeah, if it was one of the drivers, it would be, and this is funny because my general manager was asking me for a while, my owner was asking me, why are you doing this run? Well, I mean, that kind of, not that it worked out, but it's that I was worried about problems with it. And I didn't want to put one of my guys in that kind of problem to have an issue. Right. Mm-hmm. And the only guy that I had was fairly new. And I mean, you want to piss his wife off, have a guy who's 2 months in, stuck, gone for a week.
Yeah.
Right. I've been out of 10 years. My wife knows stuff comes up. My wife knows that we can adapt to this. We can overcome this. It's not the ideal scenario. Luckily, we don't have any kids at home or anything that are, being affected by this either. So, it would be a very different story if it wasn't, if it wasn't me.
But I thought you wanted kids. And if you're not being home, you can't start working on the wanting kids part.
Well, no, I'm not saying that I don't want kids. I'm just saying that I don't have it so this didn't affect anything. It's a fair statement. You're not going to trap me in that one that easily.
I don't know. I just take your wife's side every time I can just to try to give her some backup.
I've noticed. So she's gotten much better as the week has gone on. Luckily, so it's Easter Friday, Good Friday tomorrow. So she's off anyway, so she was a little happy. She's on a short week. That kind of brought her mood back from where she was. So, yeah. So while I was down here, we do have another fun story to get into. So obviously I've had nothing but time on my hands. And so the other day I realized that Michigan, near Detroit, has a Zips. We've been meaning to pick up a couple things for our trucks. I've been looking for a set of dollies that I wasn't able to acquire. But we needed a couple things. And I said, hey, any of these tools were on the truck when it came over, wink, wink, hint, hint. So might as well go over and check them out. So I swung by the Zips in, I don't know if it's actually considered Detroit or what little suburb it was. and met some lovely people down there. They had a lot of trucks, nice new trucks sitting out front. Kind of browsed the aisles. I'm talking to the lady at the counter, trying to get my hands on those that new set of those Collins G7 dollies, which I'm still unsuccessful. They have them in Iowa, but they don't have them in Michigan. And so I happen to be standing there, and I'm talking to her, and a gentleman comes up, and I got a laugh out of this. It's a, it's subtle fame brag, but it was quite entertaining. So he walks up to me and goes, "I got to ask you something." I said, "Sure." He's like, "Are you a plane guy?" And I immediately started to laugh. I said, I am. And he goes, "I thought I recognized your voice. I listened to the show." And he said, "I got online. I don't watch on YouTube. I listen over on one of the audio streaming services." And he goes, "So I was looking online trying to find a picture of you to see if it was you. But you had glasses on." And I said, "Yeah, no, it is me. Thanks for listening to the show. He's been a longtime listener. I told him I would give him a shout out on the show." Carl from Joey's Towing in Detroit. I think he's actually out of Iowa or out of Ohio. But I know there's two Joey's locations. So anyways, it is Carl from Joey's.
Why didn't you get him to go pick up the set of Collins dollies for you? Bring them back.
Iowa, not Ohio.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
It was a little choppy. I thought you said the same thing.
Yeah, no, two different places. The dollies are in Iowa. I think he's out of Ohio. So anyways, we spent probably a good 40, 45 minutes or so talking. Because he's waiting on a truck to get serviced and I got nowhere to be. Like, I have absolutely, someone wants to sit and talk with me about towing with the kind of, you know, adventure I was on. I got all day, man. So yeah, we had some great conversations about the blue and red lights and how different states with the different light rules, you know, how it's something that needs to be federally regulated instead of per state or per province, because it's true. Especially here where the states are so small and it's very easy to cross states. You could be two states over doing a tow. It's not unrealistic. And you know what I mean? Have a problem with lights because, you know, you don't conform to that state's lights laws. So, yeah, it was great. So moral of this whole story, and the one thing I wanted to get into on this, when we originally quoted out this run, and for anyone that does cross border, I think this could be handy, right? I've been seeing questions a lot actually from the American listeners. What do you need to cross the border in Canada? One of the biggest things that I found people are surprised to hear is you need a passport. back in the day, you didn't. And it, depending on how far south you are and how far north you actually travel, you haven't needed to cross a border in 10 years. Right? You got everything in the great country that you live in, the greatest country in the world, they keep saying. But when we quoted out this job and the customer was adamant that they had their own broker, right? We included not fine print. We put it big and bold right at the bottom of the estimate that we sent over. Then due to the fact that you are using your own broker, any waiting time at the border due to an issue with the broker or the paperwork will be charged at a waiting time of this much an hour per half hour increments. Right. And that is fair. So that is not a, that is like, if I'm stuck at the border for 3 hours, you're pay, you got to pay for, you know, 30 minute or 15 minute increments for the time that I'm delayed at the border. Now, when a situation like this came up, I didn't obviously go to my customer and I, that was my hourly retail rate for my truck. So whenever the time came to the customer and all this popped off and we had to wait the extra 72 hour, it was very easy to go to my customer and say, "Look, we had an agreement that any holdup at the border was at this, you know, let's say $150 an hour." Okay. I'm a realist here. I am not going to charge you 72 hours at $150 an hour. That is ludicrous. But I don't have my truck to be able to operate my calls. And I've got a driver and everything out there. We will charge 8 hours a day for the 3 days at the 150 an hour air quotes. Right. With that money, you're covering paying a guy, you're covering meals, you're covering your cost of being up there, your hotel. And the customer sits there and goes, "Hey, well, at least these guys aren't assholes." But imagine if you hadn't established any sort of guideline that prior, right? This goes to, remember when we talked about you and I working together and, you know, shop, when you work in the shop, but you're on commission, if there's no pre-established grounds and a baseline of how things can go. And I know it's hard to incorporate every little scenario that you run into, but this is a common one that happens, a couple hour delay at the border. It's very easy to then explain to your customer and go, hey, look, this is the scenario that we're in. This is what we told you. We'll work with you a little bit on it. We'll give you a little bit of this and that. Right. I think I ended up knocking off one of the hotel night charges that I had because now that I'm stuck here, I'll have a clean log to run home. Right. So I'm not going to charge you the extra, you know, accommodation fee that I had built into it. You know, and so on and so forth and all that good stuff. So the customer was very understanding. And they said, hey, we're sorry that this happened to you. They have been working tirelessly to find a workaround. They have been in constant communication with me every day to see how my spirits are. I found that very touching. They are worried about me.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's weird having someone worry about you, isn't it?
It is. I mean, my company has abandoned me. No. It's the joke that I keep saying, but no, so they are actually worried. Hey, I own up. You got everything you need there. You're taken care of. And, you know, I don't think they know what kind of company we are. You know what I mean? Like that we take care of it. Like I'm not going without while I'm here, but I do appreciate the concern. The guy who I picked the vehicle up from, he was hilarious because he calls me that night, the night that I checked in here. And he goes, well, I didn't hear anything from you a couple hours after you left here, so I figured you made it across the border. And I said, no, sir, do I have a story for you. And he goes, oh, no, what happened? So I explained to him on what was going on, and I've gotten to know the wait staff at the restaurant here very well. They see me every day for breakfast and every day for dinner. I haven't wandered out too far. Because I don't feel like doing Ubers and whatnot. They also don't have Skip the Dishes in the U.S., I found. So
is it just Uber Eats, I guess?
Yeah, it looks like it's DoorDash. Yeah, so I know I ordered right off Google. I ordered some sushi today. And it was through DoorDash, but right through Google, which is kind of nice. That's neat. Extra apps. No extra everything. Yeah, it was just off the Google web, like Google, and then order now. So anyways, that's enough of where in the world is Plain Guy.
Yeah, that only took up half our show's time.
It's a good time. You know what? You know what? And there's going to be somebody, I guarantee you're going to hear out of the comments after this one. It's going to be someone either, hey, I'm right up in that that area. You should have let me know.
I got a question for you actually, because when you're on your way up, you kind of passed a listener. His name's Sean. He's a very common occurrence on the show. We really do like you, Sean. You seem like a good person. He was trying to meet up with you on a coffee coming back, and I had to break the bad news to him that you are not coming back on the day that you said you were going to be coming back. And he had a question. His question is hours of service. We have all been told as tow drivers, we are exempt from hours of service unless hauling freight. Correct. If it's got plates and insurance, there's no limit to work hours. True, untrue, distance from home base. Possibly a topic for the show. I did a drive from my hometown to Pembroke and back in one day, which was more than 15 hours. Was I breaking the rules?
Okay. Sean, yes. I will not, I'll be well past you by the time this episode comes out. I will not be stopping on the way back for a coffee with you. I do apologize. At this point, once I get the clearance from the border, I am fueling up and I am making the drive straight through. I want to get home. So don't take that personally. That being said, this question for the work hours relates specifically to Ontario the way that he is asking. So just for other listeners, do not take this as advice based on your state and your regulations. This applies solely to Ontario, and I'll touch a little bit onto the U.S. side of things whenever I after I answer his question. So, yes. Were you illegal? No. So, hours of service. When you are hauling disabled vehicles in the province of Ontario, right, you are exempt from hours of service. Now, you are not exempt from tracking these hours. That is a very important note. These hours have to be logged. So how we do it is we have an ELD, right? Everything has gone to ELDs now, electronic logging devices. We have a rule set on there. We have three. We have Canada, north of or south of 60. Mm-hmm. We have a U.S. property, 8-day. I can't remember what the other thing was on it. And a no rule set. So a no rule set will track when I am driving, when I am on duty, when I am off duty, but it will not put me in violation. Okay. Because I'm in my home province and I'm running under my towing exemption in the province of Ontario. The 160 does not matter in Ontario when it comes to hauling a disabled vehicle. The everyone always gets this 160 confused. The only time that you do not need a logbook, even within the 160, is if you never travel outside of the 160.
Yep.
If you travel outside of the 160 once, you need to carry a logbook, even when you are within the 160.
Yep.
Okay. The 160 applies in this case for Ontario for freight. Depending on where you are in Ontario, it can also apply in Quebec once you get 150 kilometers as the crow flies. Keep that in mind. Right, it's 160 air kilometers from your home base. Big circle around it with 160 straight line. You need to run your logbook. So you can, you know, depending on what your ELD system is, mine constantly runs whenever I'm working. Just on the no rule set, I punch off at the end of the day. That way, if I get pulled over, like I did down in Quebec, and they want to see your last 14 days, they're there. They cannot give me an infraction for being in violation those days because I was running in my home province. But whenever, if I've ran, if he did that run to Pembroke and back, he's legal. If he would have then tried to pick up and go, let's say, across the U.S. border or go across into Quebec, he would be in violation when he started that run because his hours were still tracked from that day. Right? So those hours still count. Like they are still there and they are still being calculated. However, they don't apply to violations. As for freight, freight applies as a usual logbook, like any other trucker would apply. So if you're hauling any sort of equipment, the argument has been made and it is a very gray area. I'm not going to take a stance on if you should or shouldn't do it. I will let you decide on that. Would be cars that were, like, if you're towing an accidented car from your yard to an auction, from your yard to a repair facility, they're not really disabled cars. It wasn't a car that was broken down on the side of the road. That is not in the nature of how it was written, but it is a gray area that a lot of towing companies operate within. I know towing companies that haul for the auctions and they run logbook because in their belief and their understanding, it is not, you know, just a disabled car. They'd rather be on the safe side. I respect that.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. It's like, what if you're just transporting a car from A to B that's not disabled? Because then technically you're just hauling freight, really. It's a delivery service. It's not a disabled motorist.
Yeah, so that is the argument that is made on it. And again, it would be one of those things. Consult with your MTO. Consult with your local towing associations. Get clarity on that, on how they want to.
Because I'm assuming if you get pulled over and that car you're towing doesn't have plates or insurance, it'd be pretty hard to say this is a disabled vehicle. Like, how do you prove your point there?
Well, it's disabled in the fact that it can't drive down the road.
I guess.
It's, again, and different officers could interpret that differently, and that'll be a big thing that comes in as of April 1st. As of April 1st, so the day before this episode airs, you will be required into Ontario now to enter into weigh stations with a tow truck. Regardless, empty, loaded, customers, no customers, it does not matter if you cannot drive by any way stations when they're open. I mean, we've made practice of just going into them anyways. I got nothing to hide. You know, puts a little extra fear in my guys to make sure they're tip top and up to shape on everything, right? when we tell them that it's company policy that you enter. So, yes. So as for your question, Sean, again, you run to Pembroke, completely legal. Now there's other things that can play into this. Employment Standards Act, claiming on how many hours you can work. And honestly, that was the one thing I always laughed at. I'm a big believer in towers having this hours exemption. for a lot of different reasons. It is not mind-numbing as it is being a trucker just driving down the 401. And I can understand why they have that. Right? Like, I when I did this drive up, it's a long drive to Windsor. Like, it's a very long drive to Windsor. And especially when you're doing 105 on cruise control. And I'm telling you, I took my two 30-minute breaks so that it would have me. It was more because of the effect it would have my US log when I made the switch over. I took those breaks. And I'm telling you, they were needed. You know, it was nice to, after, you know, 6 hours straight of driving, stop, fuel up the truck. You're on duty for that time. Park the truck, shut down, go into a little diner, grab a bowl of soup, you know, go on Facebook, read up on whatever, have a coffee, grab a snack for the road, head out, back in the truck. My 30 minutes are up and I'm back on the road. Those were actually nice, needed little breaks. And it's one thing to take a break where you hop out of the truck and you hop back in. Taking the 30 minutes was actually just a nice little, you know, okay, get my paperwork ready, make sure my logbook's good. You know what I mean? Like, do those little things that we sometimes don't take the time to do. Where I say that I'm a big believer in the hours exemption is because, unlike runs like this, you're normally in and out of the truck multiple times, right? You're doing little 20-minute, 30-minute tows in and out of the truck. You do not get that mental fatigue the way that you would driving down the highway like this and just keeping your eyes on the road. That absolutely has a different effect on you. So, yeah, I hope that helps. As for the U.S. side, if you are crossing into the U.S., you need to run a log. Do not forget to, because anytime you're doing U.S. Towing, you're obviously not picking up in the U.S. and dropping in the U.S. That would be illegal if you're a Canadian company. But you're importing or exporting goods or still transporting across borders, you are required to carry a log. So make sure you're up to date on that. You're not in violation. And make sure you switch your log to the U.S. because they do have a set of different set of driving rules. In Canada, we are allowed to drive 13 hours a day on like a 16-hour workday. In the U.S., you're allowed to drive 11 hours a day, I want to say, on a 13-hour workday. So you're not allowed to drive quite as far in the States or quite as long. And you require a break after 8 hours.
So let's say, since we're talking about this, you're a towing company that you've never had logs at your company before. It's just a completely foreign topic, and a lot of towing companies haven't, right? How would, especially now since April 1st, we got to pull into weigh scales, so we're going to have people, you know, checking this. How would a company go from no logs at all with no information on them, other than listening to this and being like, oh, shit, I need to get my ducks in a row. How would they go from this, from not having anything, to having good logs in a short period of time? Where are there steps needed to get that done?
Technology. I mean, if it's April 2nd and you're going, shit, how am I going to do my logs? Somebody dropped the ball along the way, but it's a reality to it. I can recommend software that we use. I know there's plenty out there if you do your research. We use a company called Geotab. They are who does our GPS tracking. For our trucks, they're integrated. We run TowSoft as well. So they're integrated with TowSoft that right on our calls, it shows us our GPS for the truck on, while he was on that call. And they qualify, you fit the ELD like regulations with Geotab Drive. So you set up a user profile. And it's something that can be done like on your cell phone. It is that simple. I mean, I can
Have a full tablet mount.
And you do not have to have a full tablet. Now, that being said, it does claim that a logbook has to be, an ELD has to be mounted within reach of the driver and within visibility of the driver, because it will give you your violation notices. It'll show you your amount of time.
So you got to have your cell phone mounted on something.
Agreed. Yes. You're not supposed to have it in your pocket. You are supposed to have it mounted to the truck. But from there, honestly, it is easy. I'm trying to get in, continue. I want to make sure that I stay off duty. Skip remainder. Okay. I am off duty. From there, it is as easy as here is your logbook. I'm trying to run on my cameras. Right. And it will auto because I am assigned to that truck and it picked up my truck out in the parking lot as the closest unit to me, because none of my other units are near me. If that truck were to fire up right now and start going down the road, you would see my log on duty because or in driving because I am assigned to that truck.
So if someone steals your truck, you go on duty.
Yeah, exactly. But yes, no, it's tied directly to it. It plugs in through the OBD port. I don't know. I can't tell you what the costs are off the top of my head. You'd have to contact Geotribe. And I think Geotribe is another company here in the States, Axis, I want to say, or something like that, or Access. But no, they are great. So yeah, it's right on your phone. It's very easy. The only thing you have to do is pretty much do your inspection at the beginning of the day on it. Do your post-trip if you do your post-trips and then log out, like put yourself, because it will. So once the truck is moving, it'll automatically put you in driving. Once the truck stops, it'll automatically put you on duty. The only thing it won't do is put you in off duty. So that you have to remember to manually go and do. And then from there, your dispatchers, your operations guys can manage it all through a website. Can modify
so they can see how well you're doing your hours throughout the day as well.
100%. I can go right now on to our web browser version and check all of my driver's logs because that's what I normally catch. I normally catch somebody that not intentionally runs a bad or a dirty log. It's that they forget to log off at the end of the night. And then, you know, so it shows them on duty for the last 2 days. So it's a fairly easy change. As long as they haven't verified their logs, we can make notes and make those changes. So you can constantly keep up on your drivers to see, you know, to make sure everyone is being compliant. And then there's so much more into it. Once you get into geo tracking, there's geo fencing. You can get notifications of speed if a vehicle left without an inspection done. I'm sure there's some you can set up if there's no driver assigned to the truck, meaning it's not going against anyone's log. There's probably email notifications you can get from that. You can get notifications if they leave a certain area, enter a certain area between certain times. There's a lot that can go into it with it. So it's the only one that I know of off the top of my head that I'm familiar with. But yes, Geotab has been great, integrated well with all of our other software. And it's very user-friendly. It's not that hard to figure out.
Yeah, it's the towing industry is becoming more regulated. With more oversight. We've been talking about that for the last year, really. I think episode 4, we talked about new towing laws coming to Ontario.
So that was probably the zero tolerance back then, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, no, it was already zero tolerance. I think we were talking about the TSIA coming soon type bullshit. But yeah, the fun days of towing and just doing whatever you want, the golden days of towing, I think are... few and far between coming up. I think it's
I think you're right, but I think it's that the true companies that have learned to evolve and adapt are the ones who will come out of this at the end.
Which is a shame because a lot of the small mom and pop shops in rural towns have been servicing their communities for 50, 60 years. And they've been doing just a good fine. Job. They haven't been breaking laws. But these new regulations, they might not be a part of a towing association. They might not be a part of the Facebook groups. They might not even know unless they got sent out registered mail.
Yeah, no, it's true. It's true. Yeah. So we wish anyone that ever has any questions, by all means, you can ask them. I feel like this has been one of our more educational episodes where you know, I appreciate your questions that you have today, G. It's really been fun. I'll do my best to answer them as they come. I wanted to get to an article quick, and if I remember, we'll post it in the comments or in the section below in the video, the description. Have you seen about the Chattanooga baseball team?
No.
The story that's been going around social media, you haven't seen this at all?
No.
So this is really cool. So Chattanooga unveils Wreckers as their alternate identity to honor towing industries or the towing industry. So the Chattanooga Lookouts baseball team, which I don't know what level of baseball they are, is embracing the city's rich history with a unique twist for the 2024 baseball season, introducing the Chattanooga Wreckers as their alternate identity. The Lookouts will don dark navy and orange jerseys and hats for 6 special games, paying tribute to Chattanooga's legacy as the birthplace of the Wrecker and to honor the past, present, and future of the towing industry. The primary marks features a vintage Wrecker in orange inspired by Ernest Holmes Sr., the inventor of the tow hitch. In collaborations with Miller Industries and the International Towing and Recovery Museum, the lookouts aim to celebrate the dedicated individuals within the towing and recovery field. Having the opportunity to tell the story of a homegrown industry, an industry that was born and built right here in Chattanooga, is a unique opportunity, said Lookouts Vice President Andrew Zito in a release. The Lookouts and the towing industry have been a staple of Chattanooga for more than 100 years. We are super excited to bring this identity to life through the 2024 season. The Chattanooga Wreckers will make their debut during the Wreckers Kickoff Extravaganza weekend on April 26th and 27th. Oh, we just missed it. The remaining dates include Sunday, June 16th, Friday, July 12th, and Saturday, August 3rd, and Thursday, August 29th. Both Friday and will feature a Wreckers car air freshener giveaway for the first 1,000 fans. Will be capped off with a spectacular firework display. Wreckers games will also feature special entertainment and promotions, enriching the fan experience with the spirit of the towing industry.
If anyone got one of those air fresheners, please send us a picture of it.
Yeah, if you can get an extra one and send it right down. I'll see if I can window Chrome tab. There we go. I'm gonna show it up for those watching on the YouTube side, if you want to, if you can help me navigate the screens, the layout at least. I'm working on a much shorter screen. So that is the Chattanooga Wreckers, which is pretty sweet. There's a version of their jerseys.
Yep.
With on a Holmes Wrecker with the hats, with the little wrecker on it. I think that is cool. To me, something like that is probably that shows more of a changing time in the industry than anything else. To me, the people at Miller and the recovery, the museum, the Hall of Fame, thank you for taking the time to set this up. And I want to thank you on behalf of the industry. Let's take that out. Mainly because I feel like this is something that really helps lead away from all the bad and everything that you hear in the towing industry. The towing industry is finally being, as minor as it may sound, but being celebrated in a way that is recognizable, is shareable, is reputable. Does that make sense, what I'm saying?
Yeah, sort of.
Instead of just a news article about a company who's, you know, fucking another company, burning trucks, everything like that, these people put in the hard work to try and get recognition for the industry and the town of Chattanooga, where it all started. To me, it just elevates the professionalism in the industry, or the, you know, standard in the industry, by seeing moments like this. So I want to thank whoever was involved in setting that up. You guys obviously worked hard to do it, and cheers to you.
Yeah. Like, you see movements for thanking the truckers, especially during COVID, because they kept the world going. You see things about thanking the farmers and thanking the first responders. But you never really see anything for thanking towers. And I'm not asking for thanks.
No, I don't think any of us
will never. We will never go out of our way to say, hey, you should thank me for my service. Right? We'll never do that. But it is nice to realize that some people do actually appreciate us. And I know for the general motoring public, you don't think of needing a tow truck or an operator until you're in a bad situation. And then when we show up, you're very thankful and grateful in the moment. But at the same time, how are we going to be able to be in the mainstream enough to where people actually say, hey, maybe I should slow down and move over for that tow truck driver. He's helping someone who's having a bad day. Right. And I think something like this could possibly help, just to keep us fresh in people's minds, because apparently our flashy lights on the side of the road don't cut it.
100%. I think this is a better chance of getting out to the masses and the public, instead of that thing where we talk about how it feels like we're, you know, in a vacuum chamber, just yelling at each other, instead of getting our message out to the public. I think this is a great opportunity for towing and the positive side of towing to be represented to the public.
Yeah.
So, I think that's about all the time that we have for today. G's internet looks like it's starting to cut out, which means he must be at his monthly maximum for data usage. It could be my Wi-Fi hotel, or my hotel Wi-Fi too.
I've had shitty internet this whole episode.
Okay, perfect. So hopefully we don't get to play a game of where in the world is Tony or is Plane Guy soon. Hopefully I will be back in my igloo in Canada.
Don't worry, I stay in my convent.
Yeah, yeah, he never leaves. He sends all of his 17 wives to the market to get all of his supplies and all of his religious followers. So you'll never have to worry about playing that game with Tomanji. But I will try my hardest to visit a new city and find new friends along the way. So on behalf of myself and, of course, my wonderful co-host, Mr. Tomanji, we thank you for joining us for another episode of the Towing Life podcast. And we cannot wait to see you again next week. Take care.
Toodles.